Opinions expressed in the following program are those of the producer and not necessarily those of WKTV Community Media.
Family-owned Palermo Pizza underwrites this episode of Grand Rapids Ghost Hunters Paranormal Podcast, located at 901 Gazan Parkway, Southwest Wyoming, and available at 616-531-8300.
The road, it turns red with all the bloodshed. This life we live is a path upon a storm now. The waves crash the coast. We're in the souls of our minds. Abuse and neglect pave the way for me now. I walk this road alone. Yeah, people come and people go. Hard times, they always show. But I'm strong, I just move on.
Walk on down the road.
The past gets left behind. Yeah, bridges burning slowly die. I try to survive, but no one leaves this road alive.
Walk on down the road.
Brought to you by WKTV. I'm your ghost hunting host, Wayne Preston Curtis Thomas. Welcome to another episode of Grand Rapids Ghost Hunters Paranormal Podcast. As always, we ask that you please keep an open mind about things that you might not easily believe as we explore the mysterious. Should save that line for my co-host.
Which one?
Kim. Welcome to the show, Kim.
Hi, everybody. Hi, Brandon, Ben, Wayne. I'm Kim Colleen.
And then my other co-host, Brandon Jose.
Hi, everybody. I just wanted to make an announcement. We do have a YouTube page up and running now, so I encourage everybody to go check that out. Basically, on the page, I got different playlists, so I still got a lot of episodes I got to upload yet, but I have different sections where, like, playlists for different guests with kind of our episodes as well as kind of stuff we've collaborated on or some of their videos if they're on YouTube and stuff like that. Like, I do have one for Ben. I just got to add our podcast episodes to it yet, but it does have some videos where we've investigated together and stuff like that on there.
Okay.
So, yeah, that'll be fun. Check that out.
Yeah.
Brandon, you brought our guest to my attention. So why don't you say something about introduce our guest a little bit?
Yeah, I'm introducing Ben Goldman. He's of Afterlife Road. Haunted mini series on YouTube, and of course he was part of the Michigan MSU Paranormal Society, right? I don't remember the exact title of the MSU group. You're president of it there for a while too. I don't know if you were when I first met you, but
yeah, I was a co-president for a year or so. So it was fun.
Ben, I had you down as founder and lead investigator.
Well, you see, I wear many hats, including a Michigan State one, like you're wearing.
Yeah, me too.
I always like being on the show because you always start off by you transcribe the song that we use.
Oh, yeah.
Read it. And I never knew the words to it until I was on your show. And I was like, huh, this is a good little poem when you read it like that. I'm working on the movie, the documentary film about Afterlife Road, and I'm thinking about starting it with, you know, me or someone narrating that song, kind of like, you know, I was inspired by the podcast, and I actually listened to our previous podcast to actually get the words right, so it came full circle there.
Oh yeah, it was my wife and I. This was like jumping Jack Flash. I felt like Whoopi Goldberg trying to translate it from the— it was your brother's band, the Coroners?
Yeah, it was my cousins, yeah.
Your cousins?
Yeah. Yeah, she posted that song.
I like the way they do it, too. It's got like a rock blues.
Right. All the guitars. She was like promoting her new song. I listened to it and I said, huh, this is kind of cool. And then I was like, I might use this as the intro song to this new video thing we're starting, this new venture. And I didn't have a name for it yet.
Yeah.
But the song was called The Road. and I really liked it. And it was my cousin's, so I knew I was able to use it. So I was like, the name of the show has to be something about a road to make it make sense. So then I pulled out a piece of paper and I was just trying to think of names that have to do with roads. I thought of like Paranormal Road,
yep.
Afterlife Road. I couldn't think of anything else. So I just went with Afterlife Road. And that's the amazing story about that's how perfect. It all started.
It's perfect. You're the only team that has their own theme song.
That's right.
Because I asked them, when they're going to be on the show, there's a certain song, you know, that you aspire to or whatever, a poem, and you guys were the only ones. But it was like I say, I was like Whoopi trying to translate it. It was kind of tough. I think I'm pretty close though.
Yeah, and I thank you for it. I mean, your guess is as good as mine.
Yeah, that's what you said. I called you up a couple times or whatever.
And yeah, I think my response was just like, yeah, that sounds good.
Sounds good. it does sound pretty good. Yep, I like it. Now you staying busy?
Very busy. Very busy. We just, I mentioned a movie. I'm slowly working on that, chipping away at that. I'll circle back to that, but we recently launched a podcast of our own. So that's been, I was like, yeah, we can record for an hour and it just takes, an hour listening back, post it, move on. But a podcast does take a little bit more work than I anticipated. So that has been keeping me a little bit busier than not that I wanted to, but then I anticipated going in. So that's a good thing, actually. I can use my free time to make stuff and actually put stuff out there. But yeah, the movie's been sort of something I've been slowly working on since I think our first shoot was in February of 2021. So almost a year now.
Well, Brandon's got some experience acting.
Yeah.
I've done some film crew and stuff. It's been a long time since they got rid of the film subsidies. There's like nothing going on anymore, but.
Right. Yeah. I enjoy it because like everything I've done film video wise has either been for a class or I'm not in complete control, or it's someone else's story where there's all these like ethical things. Like even if it's my good friend who I'm doing a documentary on, there are still things that it's their story. You can't really mess around too much with it. So there, even though you have all the creative freedom to do what you want, there's still the ethical restraints. I can't have my friend do anything I want him to do. I can't do multiple takes of something just to get it just right. I can't, I can't tweak the story how I artistically envision it. But since it's my story about me on my terms and I'm basically doing everything, it's the only possible scenario. I went through so many scenarios. This is the only possible movie I can make where I have absolute control. So that's been good.
You're the subject and the creator. So
exactly. Yeah. It's good, but it's also bad because that also means there's no deadline. So I can just spend like a year being like I'm not going anywhere with this, but it's been fun. Yeah.
No scapegoat either. Is
the movie about you?
It's about Afterlife Road, the past 4 or 5 years of us investigating. I sort of have the idea there's you guys know I don't really believe in ghosts, and that's a subject of great debate between everyone that knows me. But there's one place where I was this close to saying there was a ghost there. And I think we mentioned this on the first podcast I was on. So I kind of have the idea of going back to this place, doing a reinvestigation there, and then using that new footage to sort of tell the story of like throughout the course of this investigation, going back, talking about the last one and how we got to this point here throughout the 4 years, a little bit about me, all that fun stuff. And we actually went all out. We did a lot of stuff on this reinvestigation that we've never done before. We went, it's a open area, public area in the woods. and the kind of sketchy part of a small town. So we wanted to eliminate any possible chance of someone else being in the woods with us. And obviously you can't do that because, you know, we didn't have, even if we had like all the local law enforcement on our side, like you can easily elude the cops there because the forest that surrounds this area actually is in two like city lines. So we would have to get like two, you know, police forces working together just to secure the entire perimeter. It would have been a huge mess and there's people's houses there. So it would have been possible to eliminate all human, you know, variables and interference possible. So we picked a freezing night in the middle of February on like a Wednesday night to go out. And we were like, okay, A, there will be snow on the ground. We can see footprints. B, you have to be absolutely crazy to be in frozenly haunted woods at midnight in 12 degree Michigan weather on a Wednesday night. So we did our best to eliminate any human beings possible that way. But we were sort of like on this wild goose chase. We kept like hearing voices and people talking. Then we would take out the thermal camera and the thermal camera would be dead. So then we would sort of be in the dark, not knowing if there's someone around us, but being convinced there was because we are hearing talking. We would hear singing, all this weird stuff. And then when we would not hear anyone, the thermal camera would be working. So it was like only when we were hearing stuff that it wasn't working. Like the one time we need the thermal camera out to ease our minds of like, because it has a range of 100 feet where it can see in temperature and you can't elude a thermal camera. Bodies give off heat. So the one time we want to take out a camera that can see every human being within 100 feet of us, it isn't working. But anyways, that was just part of the struggle of that investigation.
Did you ever have trouble with that camera before that?
No. And this camera, it, so if you shake it really hard, it can dislodge and become disconnected. But this was different than that. You know, anytime it just like, the camera will say like, reconnect camera or something like that. That's not paranormal. That's just, you must have panned it really fast because it dislodged. And that's a known issue. But this, we were actually seeing the battery drain from 60 down to zero. And then you turn it on and it's at like 80 again.
Is that one of those flares that you hook to your phone?
Yep. Yeah, and the thing is, when you hook it to your phone, it combines camera sensors. So that's why it sometimes dislodges from the lightning port. But this wasn't dislodging, it was draining. And there's a lot of other stuff, but I already revealed too much about that.
But this is all part of the movie?
Yeah.
Yeah. Normally you do like what, 15 or 20 minute segments, right?
What was that?
Normally you do like 15 or 20 minute segments.
Yeah, normally we do like 10 minutes aiming for. Yeah, but then I will say this though, we went back because, you know, we've been filming for, you know, what, like 9 months now. So we did go back in the springtime on a very warm Friday night and it was a full moon. So we went on a full moon Friday night, like 65 degree spring day, gorgeous day. Not one person was out in the woods because what we did was we set up trail cams and recorded them for a week. So during our investigation that night, on clear day, we didn't hear anyone. And then when we went back a week later, during the entire duration of that week, not one person walked in front of the trail cam. In an entire week, not one person walked in front of them. But then, on this one random freezing night in the middle of winter, we're hearing all sorts of people in the woods. So either those people are really weird or something about the woods is really weird.
Wow. So yeah.
I'll just leave it at that. That was a little taste of a.
we'll be looking forward to that because otherwise it's a Haunted Michigan web series that you put out on YouTube.
Yes.
And you have what, 100 plus now?
I think it's 115 now. Yeah.
So that's great.
I was really bummed because we just aired the Friday the 13th episode because, you know, you have to do one every Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
And Friday the 13th episode was number 114. I almost had it timed out perfectly.
Oh, no.
113 was the Friday the 13th one, but fate wasn't on our side and it was number 14. So
it's funny how those things do line up sometimes.
Right. But
ended up doing the first investigation there. I set up happened to be on the anniversary of the date she was bludgeoned to death.
Oh.
So it just happened to be that coincidentally we were there for the anniversary.
Where was it?
That was at Ritz Coney building, downtown Grand Rapids.
Yeah, I've heard of it, but I haven't.
That was the Mina Decker story. It's one of Michigan's oldest unsolved murders. Right. It just so happened that we were there. You know what? I have you as king of the haunted road. Our buddy Darren from Lakeshore Paranormal, he's like Lord of the Cemeteries.
Yeah, he loves those cemeteries.
Yes, he does. He hangs out in the cemetery more than anyone I know. But you were the first one that brought haunted roads to the show.
Well, because like what's more cool than that? You're driving down this like lonely dirt road in the back streets of Michigan. And you know, it's just like you and your buddy just driving down these roads at night. And then you're just telling ghost stories and you're like, oh yeah, there is a ghost story about this road.
Yeah.
They see this driving down and you just drive up and down looking for this ghost on the side of the road. And all the hitchhiker legends, you know, all the like floating lights that, you know, come, all the like pushing your car uphill, handprints on your cars, all that stuff is like so cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't believe in any of it, but it's so cool, you know?
Well, I looked into it more, you know, after you brought it to our attention. And then you said it wasn't just ghosts either. That's why I wore this shirt kind of because you've had extraterrestrial and Bigfoot.
And we just did Dogman. So we got permission to investigate Fort Custer Recreation Area it's near Battle Creek. And they've never allowed anyone to investigate there overnight, like officially. But all the DNR people gave us permission. All the park rangers were there for the indoor parts of it, but then for the outdoor parts, they're like, just, you know, don't bring it into any buildings, just have fun. But that place has the most recent documented Michigan Dogman sighting in Michigan. And this Dogman is like this 7-foot tall human shape with a dog head. It's like a size of a man with a dog. That's where they get the dog man. It's a dog, but it's a man. But it's a dog, but it's a man. It apparently strikes every like 70 years or something. It's a very cool cryptid legend that Michigan has claimed by attaching their name to the beginning of it. It's no one talks about the dog man. It's the Michigan dog man.
Yeah.
It can't leave Michigan border. It has to stay in Michigan. It's bound to our
great. Say, there is ones up too, like in Wisconsin. So there is, I do have other dog man ones, but it's all kind of like right in the Midwest, but.
That's a different.
I know like there's some Wisconsin
dog man. That's the Wisconsin dog man.
All right. Well, Michigan has more reported dogman reports than any other state, I think. And it's right up there because we have a lot of Bigfoot sightings too, but I think we have more dogman sightings than we do Bigfoot, which is
Wayne, between a dogman and a Bigfoot. Do you think that someone that sees a dogman just doesn't know what a dogman is and is saying it's a Bigfoot when they report it? Do you think that happens ever?
Yeah, that's a good point. Right. It very well could be. I'm not sure if I saw something like that and it's standing on 2 feet, just, I don't know. I don't know.
A lot of times, too, you'll have bear sightings, but if they're on two legs and all of a sudden you're trying to get out, you see like something big and scary, you're trying to get out of there.
Yeah, I'm going to be running the other direction.
Too. Yeah.
Exactly.
Because I think a dog man is a Bigfoot, but Bigfoot isn't a dog man. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. A little bit.
Okay. Might not, but this is.
Yeah. We've always talked about it as two separate cryptids, right?
Right? Right.
You know, and maybe that's something when we see Shatan next time, we should ask her.
Yeah, because I'm not too knowledgeable about cryptids, but, you know, I sort of look at, you know, in my very little knowledge as like Bigfoot is sort of like an umbrella, because like Bigfoot can mean like Yeti is a Bigfoot, Sasquatch is a Bigfoot. So why can't Dogman be a Bigfoot? That's might be a good question to ask. I don't know.
Totally.
Yeah, I've asked something along that line about the abominable snowman, and for some reason they get to a point where they want to separate them. Otherwise, they believe that they're all pretty much the same creature biologically.
Yeah, there's a lot.
And I know some of them Bigfoot people too. It's like they don't want nothing to do with paranormal. It's like, you know, we're just a biological creature. There's nothing spooky about us. So we got into a definition of what's paranormal. And well, I just can't send them ghost stuff. That's all. They don't like that necessarily. Right. But you do, like I say, you've been on these haunted roads, and sometimes it's not ghost at the end of the road. It's the right. Bigfoot sightings or.
Which is always scarier because, you know, I may not. See, if I weigh the two things I don't believe in, Bigfoot and ghosts, right? Even though I don't believe in them, one can actually eat me. So it becomes scarier. I don't think there's ever been a report of a 7-foot-tall ghost eating someone. But a Bigfoot can easily maul me or eat me or attack me. And then a creature that's larger than normal that doesn't have much human interaction at all because it's never been like documented by humans, so it obviously doesn't have much human interaction. That's scary. I'm running.
You'd be just an appetizer.
Exactly. Everyone has Bigfoot proof and Bigfoot evidence got eaten by a Bigfoot. They eat all the evidence.
I believe they do. Or even the bones.
Right.
You know, our last guest talked about Michigan State University, and they're doing a book on haunted things at Michigan State. And I thought that's kind of funny because we're having Ben on next show, and they talked about V Hall.
Yeah, I haven't experienced anything in V Hall. I haven't actually heard any reports from V, so they might have eluded the former co-president of the Paranormal Club there. If they found reports there, but there was a building. Gosh, I should know this because I went to school there for 4 years.
Yeah.
But there is a building like behind Fee Hall. It's like a dorm. And I don't remember the name of it. And I should because I went there for 4 years. But it's like the largest building, I think, the largest dorm building on campus. It's like 12 stories tall. And at the top of this massive dorm building, there is a cafeteria. The cafeteria is on the top floor, but they don't use the cafeteria anymore. It's like old. They just use it for like storage, and like no one ever really goes up there anymore. Students don't have access up there. Only employees can go up there because it's not used anymore, so they don't want people using it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one of my friends a couple years ago, he worked in the building. And he was really into like exploring abandoned places and that sort of stuff. He was interested in like paranormal stuff. And there were reports in this building that you can find online about like shadow figures walking around. Ironically, we were just talking about the Dogman. These are like 12-foot tall shadow figures or something crazy, like super tall shadows. So he says, hey, you know, there's a lot of people in this building. So that day there was a blizzard out. So a lot of people were like taking cover inside the building. And, you know, it was just, if we were looking for a giant shadow, you just can't do anything serious in terms of investigating with all these college kids just hanging out. So he says, hey, we can try my employee key, see if we can get up to that old cafeteria that no one goes to, and it worked. So we had this one rare opportunity to explore the old and not really abandoned, just like not used ever at all, former cafeteria up there. And the only stuff they really had were like old storage boxes of like food that expired 5 years beforehand. So obviously no one has cared to go retrieve them. And it was really cool being up there, and they had like old like record machines, old like all this old stuff. You can tell it was like old timey at one point. And there was a curtain, like a black curtain, that separated sort of like right down the middle of this giant massive cafeteria room. You can tell that on one side of the curtain hasn't been touched in like a decade. The other side is where, you know, the side closest to the staircase that people would come and store stuff, employees. So we were just up there. We had like the spirit box and stuff. And I didn't film any of this because I didn't expect to be, you know, exploring or anything. So I didn't have my camera on me. I just had grabbed the spirit box real quick. And the opportunity never came again to go investigate there because you needed the employee key. And there's no way you can convince, like the only way we could get permission again was to say, hey, we already snuck up there without permission. Can we go back up there and tell everyone that you let students go in a place they're not allowed to go to look for your ghosts? Like that just wasn't going to work out.
Right.
So this was our one opportunity. And we were getting a female voice consistently on the spirit box. I can't remember exact words or anything because we didn't record it, like I said, but I know it was consistent. And then all of a sudden, the curtain in the middle of the room, it was, you know how when you kick a curtain, like one small barrier, like a foot, like extends out? But it's not like, it's different than the curtain swaying. It's one, like someone punched it.
Right.
That happened out of nowhere, and we were looking right at it, and you could see like a shadow move behind the curtain. We ran over, pulled it open. No one was there. All the windows were shut, and we looked out the window, and the blizzard had stopped. So even if there was wind coming in from the windows, the 30 minutes we were up there with a giant blizzard, it didn't move the curtains, but that was really weird. And he ran and screamed like a baby. I mean, I don't blame him because he's never done this before, but I kind of didn't want to be stuck in a place, not that was haunted, but a place I wasn't allowed to be. Like, he was the only reason. He could have gotten us, you know, out of trouble by saying he was an employee. But if I was caught up there after the spirit box is going off and some guy screaming bloody murder, like, I was sure an employee was going to come up. That's why I was convinced when I pulled the curtain back, there was an employee kicking it or something. But there's no one, absolutely no one.
Okay, so Ben, was that the one time that you truly believed you saw a ghost? Because you mentioned that.
No.
Or is there another time?
No, there's actually two times. One was actually very recently. It was the other week.
So this story you just told us.
No, I actually completely forgot about this until Wayne just mentioned Fee Hall.
Okay.
Like, I don't even think about this often.
That wasn't enough to convince you.
No, you can tell even in my storytelling, I was kind of all over the place because I haven't thought about this in 2 years.
Yeah.
I don't even remember the name of the building. I'll find it for you, Wayne, after the fact. And
yeah.
Here.
Well, the Duchesnes may be interested in that. I thought they said V Hall, there was like cadavers or they were.
Yeah, that's where all the medical students are. So they have like cadavers coming in. But I haven't heard anything about it besides like people that don't know that there are cadavers there.
And I think cadavers. If anybody would know about it, you being there, going to school there. And
I haven't heard anything about Fee.
And being on Afterlife Road, who else would you tell? You'd have somebody on your team would know. That's weird about that. Well, we'll see. The book's not out yet, so I can't give any more details on it. But I am kind of a spoiler.
But Kim, the other time.
Yeah.
So one time was the place we were doing the movie about.
Yeah.
That was where I was this close to saying I experienced a ghost.
Yeah. The first time you went there. And then you went back there again. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, and I believe less because you see an apparition.
So you debunked yourself?
The amount of time I've spent there filming, you'd think I see an apparition, and I didn't. So my belief there diminished. However, last week, a week or two ago, I had an experience that I was this close. Can you believe it? There's still a little sliver there.
Oh, no.
Don't be fooled. There's still
we'll get you to the dark side.
Right.
Jeez, I guess.
But me and Devin, a co-investigator of mine, Devin, have been doing this podcast. Like I said, we launched a podcast recently.
Right.
And we've only done like 4 or 5 episodes so far. And we had this idea. We were talking about desecration at cemeteries, like how, like what investigators can do to like help, you know, if there's a grave that's like sensationalized, you know, with the urban legend. Unfortunately, you know, you've been there, I'm sure all of you were, you know, like this one grave is the cause of a legend at a cemetery.
Then yeah, we know about that one.
Yeah, and that grave is vandalized. Like people see it on the internet, so they and it's really sad. So we were just talking like what can be done about this problem.
Mm-hmm.
And we had this idea to record it. Usually we record over Zoom like this, but we had the idea to do it at a cemetery that has desecration at it, just to sort of be in the environment talking about it might like spark some conversation. And yeah, that was a great idea up until both of us saw something. The first time I've ever seen something, not a ghost, but something. And
was it a womanly figure?
No, I'll explain it, but
okay.
I turned and I said, just our luck that the one time you have me saying, I think I saw something, we're recording an audio only podcast. That's our luck.
Oh no.
So I told her, take out your camera, your phone camera, and just record in that area. And we put together a video companion to it. And so this episode just aired last week.
Mm-hmm.
And then I put together a little video companion just because like after people sat and listened to an hour of us talking about this, like I'm sure they want to see it. So I put together a quick video companion. We stuck around a couple minutes after to do a mini investigation. So we put that in a quick video.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next podcast that we have coming out next week, we were supposed to talk about something else, but it turned into an argument about Devin thinking I should believe in ghosts now. So, this is a very topical conversation we're having because the whole debate is coming out next week. But anyways, and all the stuff, you know, more in depth about it, the podcast episode is posted on our YouTube channel. The video companion is on there as well. I'll give a quick overview of what I experienced though. So we're just sitting there talking and she brought her dog because we had visited this cemetery a year or so ago. And as we were leaving, she got like, she's like, I don't want to like attribute anything, but she's like, I don't know, medium, psychic, one of those.
Okay.
She got the feeling as we left last time that there was a spirit that presented, that was very protective of the cemetery and presented itself as a big dog, like protecting the cemetery.
Okay.
So the whole time we left, you know, she was saying like, hey, you can't follow us. And she kept talking about this big dog. So we brought her actual dog.
Is it a big dog?
It is a big dog. It's huge.
Okay.
And we brought it just because she felt it would make her feel more comfortable there with a big dog energy, having a big dog.
Okay.
That's important later. Okay.
Okay.
So we were sitting there and her dog starts panting like crazy, starts acting weird. And then we hear what sounds like a tree fall or something, like a huge noise. And we're a bit annoyed because like that's messing up the audio of the podcast, but we don't think much of it. Then her dog starts running around, chasing its tail, and then growling at something that we can't see in the corner. Then while the dog is on the other end of the cemetery, we hear and capture like a whimper, like a whining, like a aww, right next to me. Then I'm holding my mic like this and something you can feel taps the microphone, even though I didn't move it.
Right.
Then the dog runs back to us and is completely drained of energy, like nothing ever happened. And this dog, it like alerts to everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like every noise, every this, every that, even something in the corner we couldn't see. Then we're just talking, me and Devin, and I just check my recorder to make sure it's still recording even after we got up to get the dog and everything. And as I'm looking up again, we're both looking down, but as we both look up, I can see in the woods what looks like a hand waving in the corner of my eye. Then I snap to it and it like fades away. And we both saw this and we both described it, because I know that, you know, both of us can get kind of like, what's the word? Like we can feed off each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like I may
be excited.
Yeah, I may not think I see anything. Then she'll say, oh, I saw this. And I'm like, yeah, I did too, you know? We sort of like put words in each other's mouths. But she was describing, I let her describe what she saw, and it aligned perfectly with what I saw. So I have no doubt that we both saw the same thing. Was it a dead person waving at us in the corner? Can't say that. Was it a hand at all waving? Can't say that, because it was in the corner of my eye. But I saw something moving, and she saw something moving too. And
the dog, a tree branch?
It was not a tree branch. It was large, like a basketball-sized white glob that resembled a hand waving, like in an arch motion.
So now, bigger than like the circumference of the tree itself?
It's a like wooded area back there.
Yeah.
Sort of in front of all the trees, like this.
Oh, it's in front.
Yeah. And it sort of just faded, like it went behind something that wasn't there. Luckily, there was a bat that came, and we could see a bat flying in that area and could tell it looked nothing like what we saw.
Okay.
And the dog was alerting to the bat, and it didn't alert to what we saw. Now, all that together in a succession, all coming from the same area, the tree fell in the same area, all that. It was now getting dark, so we decided to stop recording the podcast. And we take out the thermal camera just because, you know, I didn't plan on filming because we were just recording, but I had some battery life in the thermal, so I take that out. And that's comforting, because if there's something going on, like chopping down trees in the corner, you know, we want to see who they are so we can get out of the cemetery. So it's good to have the thermal. And we're just, you know, standing there. We're not even asking questions, anything. We don't have any equipment other than this camera. And we hear something walking next to us. And then it's walking on the other side of the cemetery. We're hearing noises over here, over here, over there, like all over the place. And the dog is like, ooh, 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 like alerting to all of it. But there's no one on the thermal or no animals. So then we leave because we're getting kind of uncomfortable. And she says her thing, like, you can't leave. You can't, like, follow us. You can't leave with us. You know, she says all that.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, stay here.
Mm-hmm.
Literally the second we leave the threshold of the cemetery, there's a single blood-curdling, loud howl that sounds like a wolf. Not a coyote, a wolf, super loud, echoing, reverberating from the cemetery. One single one. I'm pointing my thermal at the dog at this moment. The dog doesn't even tilt its head, move its ears. It's walking completely normal, like it didn't even hear a thing. I turn the thermal around from the direction, there's no animal at all. And this dog is chasing bunnies the whole time is chasing things we don't even think were there. It's chasing its own tail. It's barking at a bat flying through the woods, but it doesn't turn its head to a wolf howling.
Maybe it was only in your head.
No, because it was on camera, Wayne.
Oh. Those events remind me of Stryker Cemetery. When you and Brandon showed up for part of that first time around.
Yeah, we literally said it reminded us of Stryker a little bit in the moment. But like, what are the odds that she says there's a big dog protecting the woods?
Yeah.
And we go back
and
we hear a lone howl.
I didn't know you were skeptical.
What was that?
Did you both hear the howl?
Yeah, we looked at each other and we're like, what is that?
Oh, and, okay.
And then she's like, that wasn't a coyote. And I'm like, I know it wasn't a coyote. And then we got out of there quick. And then if there was a wolf that close to us, but far enough away that eluded the thermal camera, like that doesn't make sense. But right. Also, there's like a dog. So you think a wolf would like come up to a dog or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Some dogs, they don't like each other.
Yeah.
Just seeing another dog gets them excited. I never knew you were skeptical though. After 100 plus episodes.
It's 100 plus and I haven't seen a ghost.
Yeah. Well, Brandon saw a ghost, but he was like you. He had the camera was not ready or was pointing somewhere else.
There's in the middle.
Yeah, I've had quite a few sightings, but it's always when the camera battery drains. It's like when the camera's running, they will not show themselves. But once the camera's not running, that's when I see them. It always works.
That happened in the mill, right? In that
secret
area. Right?
Yeah, yeah. I'd seen someone sitting there in the hallway by the bar, but it was right after I had turned my camera off. And of course, that's when I see it.
But yeah, I want to go back to that because we didn't investigate that area of the mill. I know you guys said you got that like light turning on command, right?
Yeah, that light's kind of screwy though. I don't think that's paranormal. I think there's something messed up with the. It's supposed to be like on a motion sensor. I think that motion sensor is faulty. Because when I went there before, it did the same thing. I don't think that's paranormal.
But that doesn't explain something sitting in a chair.
No, it doesn't explain that. I definitely think the place is haunted. I've had experiences there, but I don't think the light is in the paranormal.
Yeah. Still want to figure out that rope. That rope is...
mill is this?
The Old Mill in Dundee, Michigan.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I think it's just called the Old Mill.
It was like an old mill, and then Ford bought it, and then it was like a Ford factory for a while too.
Ben, you were on Cryptic Frequencies. I think I'm pretty sure you brought up spirit mapping.
Yeah. Do you want to go into that?
Spirit mapping. I looked it up because there again, you kind of mentioned spirit mapping and then you didn't really get into it. You talked about the person. The character that brought it up, but spirit mapping is a fairly new thing.
I don't know. I don't think we have too much time, so I won't go into the full story, but it's very, you know, this was like our third investigation we ever did, ever. And I don't know why we didn't stop right then and there, because the guy that was driving us everywhere,
Someone
in our team, he was the only one that had a car.
Okay.
And he couldn't make it. So we Ubered this place. Right. And it was like 10 minutes away from us. So cheap Uber. But it's always very weird getting an Uber at like 12 o'clock at night to take you to like a cemetery or like even weirder to pick you up from a cemetery. Then they stroll into a cemetery at midnight. They're like, is this the right place? And then they always pass it. They got the wrong location. We're like, then they see like a bunch of like people in all black that they probably think are like silhouettes, like waving at them from the cemetery. That was the worst.
We're here.
But the first time we Ubered to a place was our like third or fourth ever investigation. And as soon as we get to the place, this Uber driver, which was a like 6 foot big guy. He locked the doors, won't let us leave.
Yeah.
And he says, okay, tell me why you're going to this place. And we're like, we want to find its ghost. You know, like, we don't know what to say. And then he's like, this place, let me tell you, I'm a spirit mapper. And we're like, we thought you were an Uber driver. He's like, he's like, I do the Uber for the money. But me and my buddies at church, as our real life purpose, we are spirit mappers. We go around and we make a map of demonic places. This is one of them. And I won't let you leave my car until I say a prayer for you. So he's like, we're in this car for like 15 minutes while he's praying. And he kept like stopping the prayer midway, like a house across the street would turn on its lights, probably wondering what this like car is doing, like stalling in front of this haunted location. And then the light would turn on and he would look and be like, that's a dark watcher. They're gonna be watching you. The ghosts are gonna come for you. Here's my business card. And he hands me his business card for the Shaggin' Wagon Karaoke Car. Karaoke Car. He wasn't just an Uber driving spirit mapper. He was a Shaggin' Wagon Karaoke Car driving spirit mapper. And he says, you call me. Don't pay for an Uber. I need to make sure you survive the night and I will drive you home.
Oh, wow.
And it was just like a normal investigation. It wasn't anything abnormal. You know, it was, you know, stuff happened, but still, he was the weirdest part of the night. So then he picked us back up. I gave him a call. He already had my phone number and the address he picked us up from. So, like, I wasn't giving him any new information. I didn't want him, like, pounding at my door.
Right.
Like, why didn't, are you alive? You know, so then he's, like, very mad at us that we even investigated. And then he's, like, just promise me. He's like, this is the second most demonically active place around. Just promise me you won't go to Pregoris Park. I'm like, how do you spell that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, and he's telling you to go to it when you say, don't go there.
Yeah. And then he's like, I'm not telling you. If I tell you, you're going to go. I'm like, no, I would never. I just want to make sure I have the spelling right so I know if it ever pops my radar not to go. And then he spells it out. And 2 days later, we investigate there.
Yeah, but
we make sure it's a different Uber. We actually did call an Uber, and the guy's name that answered our Uber call was the same name. I don't know if it was the same guy, it was the same name, so we canceled that Uber and paid for another one because we didn't want him driving us again. But yeah, that's where we. And then he had my number, so he called us a couple times and he invited us to get lunch with him and his church buddies. So we met all the spirit mappers. It's a bunch of old guys. One of them, his name was Harry, but the joke was he wore a hat because he was bald. So he ran his joke into the ground. He would take off his hat and he was like, they named me Harry, but I don't have any.
Oh no.
So
jeez.
And they all had this like wild backstory, like about like, you know, being addicted to like psychedelic drugs, and now they found Jesus, and now they talk to Jesus, and they've been sent here to map. I don't even know. They had this wild backstory, and they would like smell people and like smell evil off people. We were in a Qdoba getting lunch with these people. Picture like a lineup of like,
yeah,
crazy
customers.
Yeah, yeah, a lineup of these like spirit mappers, and then a couple college kids at a table. And any customer that comes in, they would sniff in the air and they smell evil. And,
you know, that is one of the senses that people do have. And that's my best sense. Brandon, have you ever heard of these spirit mappers?
I have never heard of them before.
It's fairly new.
I think
this is a true story.
I think Ben did mention something maybe like on a previous podcast, like a little bit maybe of it, but. The story, but not the full story like that.
Yeah, all right, that's why we're getting into it, because this is serious business. These guys are dealing with demons.
Mm-hmm.
These aren't just ghosts, they're demons. There's different levels. On the third level, they deal with a thing that's directly related to Satan. the answer is to Satan on the third level. And it's geographical locations where they figure that these demons possess those areas. Yeah, this is serious stuff here. It's kind of like that ministry with that preacher man that I got involved with. This is a whole different level.
But all of them died, though.
What? Every one of them?
Yeah.
Snappers?
All the spirit men, yeah, they died. So they're not a problem anymore.
Oh, man. Yeah, these guys are serious business.
Well, the first one, he got this really serious, like, rare illness, and the insurance wouldn't pay for it. His very fatal mistake was he started a GoFundMe to pay for medical bills. Mm-hmm. But the description of his GoFundMe was all about how the demons gave him this illness. If he left the demons out of his GoFundMe, he probably would have gotten more money.
Right.
But, and then they all got like the most random like things. Like this one guy like got like hepatitis from some food he bought in Jamaica. And then he died. So.
Yeah. I mean, I know there's some laughing going on, but these guys are for real. This is going on. It's just fairly new.
Picture all of this just being, you know, happening in the background, just sort of thrusted on us after three investigations. And we're still young, but we were what, like a couple months into college?
Right.
We're like 18, barely adults. And then a bunch of 70-year-old spirit mappers are taking us out to lunch and thrusting all this onto us. And we're still here 5 years later.
Yeah, it's scary stuff.
I don't know why we still even got Ubers to go take us to these places.
Another area that you were really skeptical about and you put something online about was orbs.
Oh, are you gonna get me started?
You went into great detail. I think you like stirred some debate over it, even orbs. I mean, we have our opinions of orbs because we've seen enough of them in videos and still pictures, and we know that they're dust, moisture, bugs, process of the digital process. But you went into great detail about the orbs. Can you maybe just generalize?
Yeah, so here's the thing. You know, there's these like Facebook groups that you're in, I know, that you post here in the podcast in, and I find the podcast because you post them in the groups and then I can listen to them. And I'm in the groups as well, you know, on Facebook where you can post paranormal related stuff. Well, if someone posts an orb picture, don't comment on it.
Oh,
I don't know what it is. Orb people, I'm like coining that phrase, people that post, you know, the pictures and say, I just caught the most glorious orb I've ever seen. If you say anything, no matter how respectful you are, it's like you're done for. I've gotten like kicked out of like three of these groups.
Oh, really?
Just for posting that video you're talking about.
Oh, I reposted it to my group.
Well, are you still in those groups?
Well, I was in my own group.
Oh, okay. Well,
so I mean, I can't kick myself out.
No, that's why I created my own Facebook group. So I got kicked out of three Facebook groups for posting negative something, even though like there was no negativity in the video.
Oh, wow.
And so I created my own group like the next day, and I said, the first post in this group was keeping this dust free. I would comment on these posts with sources. I would find, you know, credible sources and like share it with these people. And then they would always get mad. They're like, oh, these are just other people's sources. You know, I want to hear your opinion. So I made my own video where I just say the same exact thing I said, including the sources, just saying it from my own mouth.
Oh, yeah. You had lots of sources.
Yeah.
That was well done. It was long.
Yeah. I only made it because they said they would listen to me if I actually spoke it coming from my mouth and not other people's. They don't want to hear other people's sources. So I made that and I shared that instead. And then, you know what they said in response was, oh, you're just some kid. I want some professional sources to be telling me this.
So then I put that in spooky, weird, and strange, my group there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I liked it. I appreciated that you put that out there. I thought that was good information. We kind of need to move on, I guess, to the last steps of the show. Do a shout out to our previous guests, their authors, paranormal investigators, Nicole and Reverend Robert Duchesne, with our guest co-host, Kathleen Rydell Tetson. So that was a good show. Very educated people. Maybe they're old enough that if they came out with, we talked about orbs on the last show too, and they don't buy it at all. So, and then upcoming events. You got anything upcoming, Ben?
No, just keeping the grind going. Podcasts coming out every Wednesday, new videos dropping as I so please. We don't really have a set schedule for those anymore because the podcast is taking priority right now. But
you don't have a date for your movie release.
No. It seems like we're going to miss the Halloween sort of air date. And it's kind of lame to post a paranormal movie in November.
Around Christmas?
Miss Halloween. You have to wait for the next date. So we'll see.
Yeah, we're not even going to take a date off around Christmas, like you say. And then Brandon, you got upcoming, you doing any Bigfoot training coming up at all?
Yeah, we're doing a Bigfoot training here in a couple weeks up in the UP and going up to Paracon. Well, it'll be, by the time this episode airs, Paracon will be over with, but
okay.
But I'm going up there, so it should be a lot of fun.
Kim, you're just busy working. That's why you missed the last podcast.
Yeah. Doing the travel agent thing. Half my days are always in Florida, you know.
So yeah, it's tough. I know. It got to be tough.
It's a tough life.
Right.
I'll be back again in November.
So Kim missed our 50th. That was a milestone for us on our last show. And then upcoming for us in September, we got Adele Guidry. I'm labeling her a Cajun spiritualist. So we're going to talk about some voodoo. It'll be interesting to see what she's got to say. That's the biggest leap for me, Ben, because my grandfather was a ghost hunter. He dug up bones. And so, you know, I'm a devout believer in ghosts and Bigfoot and aliens. But the biggest jump for me is that psychic ability. I know it's there, but it's just it's a hard one for me.
Right.
And then final thought. Have you ever been in a situation where you said, show me a sign, and you actually got a sign of good results? You're going to be skeptical of it, whatever it was. You're going to think, well, that wasn't anything paranormal.
I was going to say the incident in the old mill where the rope moved, but that already got covered. I can't say, like, it sounds kind of counterintuitive to say I'm a skeptic when I scream like a dying goat.
Yeah.
And so you can't watch that video and say that goat man is a skeptic. So that doesn't work in my favor there to say that incident.
Brandon and I can testify, we have never screamed out like little girls while investigating.
Well,
not for a ghost, but for a bat. You do have that one. Fortunately, I didn't have my camera roll, and that's the one I really wish I would have got.
Yeah, I got a bat in the face. Now, come on, that's worthy of a scream.
This one time we were investigating in the winter, and I told my friends, I'm like, hey, this is kind of sketchy. You want to film us walking across this big ice patch? And they're like, no, it's fine. And then they all did it fine. But when I walk on, I fall like a maniac, and I fall and I, you know, tumble down. And they're all like super mad at me because I didn't convince them hard enough to actually film it.
Oh, no.
So that's not, if only we got that would have been gold.
Yeah. Brandon, you ever asked for a sign and you got one and maybe that was more than you expected?
I've definitely had a lot of cases, or not even cases. Sometimes you just see stuff, you know, just in life, but I can't think of one where I've asked, show me a sign. And then you see it. It's more when I see, it's almost seems like it's more accidentally, you know, like, but there's certain ones like that where it's, you know, I there's not one thing that's really particularly coming to my mind where I know I've asked the question beforehand.
Oh yeah. You know? I think maybe Kim, you got some of that going on where you're getting signs from the.
I've been on investigations before where you ask the typical questions, right? What's your favorite food and all that kind of stuff. It just kind of just comes up. But when you get a unique response that is very untypical, I mean, you're expecting like your pizza hamburger type thing, right? But when you get like, you know, specific responses that say chicken and dumplings or something like that, it leads you to believe like, holy crap, you know, where did that come from? Or when you ask, hey, what's your name? And it's just like this oddball name that you've never heard, maybe one person with that name in your entire life. And it's like, well, where did that come from? So those are the things that really kind of like makes you wonder.
Yeah.
That comes. Yep.
Yeah, there's been some answers out there. I know it was like between 3 and 5 o'clock in the morning at Nick Fink's. And we used to do this. We used to tell the ghost, show us a sign. We'll get out of here. We'll leave you alone. Yeah. Just show us a sign, something nice and loud and obvious. Well, no sooner, or we'll say, show me a sign and Brandon will go home. But we had one member that was obnoxious. So show us a sign and that person will go home. Well, they'll get out
of
here.
I'm not the obnoxious one.
No, not you, but I'm just saying, on that first group I was on, we had someone like that was obnoxious. So we used that to our advantage and say, yeah, you know,
get rid of them.
She'll leave if you show us a sign. And the jukebox came on by itself. I mean, so loud. The owner was outside, came running in, like, what are you guys doing? And we're like, we didn't do it. But it was frightening. I don't know if it was a sign, if it was paranormal. Man,
it depends on what song it was, you know.
That's what I don't know. I don't have it on recorder because I think that could have been significant to something, right?
Yeah, if the song popped on and said, and like the first lines were like, I am a ghost, get out of my place, you know.
It was more like a newsreel. Like it sounded more like an old newsreel.
Right, it was. It was some talking.
Like what you'd expect, yeah.
Right. It was something weird. It wasn't just a song. It was something weird, like Brandon said, like a newsreel. So somebody was talking. Well, that's the show. So we got an inspirational thought. I like to pick something out, you know, that relates to our guests. So, and I got a lot of respect for what you do, Ben, and your genius, the genius part of you. I like that.
Or two.
So maybe you can come up, tell me who said these things. I have a few of them. First, think. Second, dream. Third, believe. And finally, dare. Nothing yet? Here's another one. Laughter is timeless. Imagination has no age. Dreams are forever. Still don't know? This one you might get.
Different people or the same person?
Same person. Okay. This one you might get. If you can dream it, you can do it. It's Walt Disney. I think
you're
supposed to get that.
I'm starting to think I'm not as genius as you hyped me up.
But you are enterprising like Walt was. And then Kim's, that's what she's working on right now.
I was going to say that, but I didn't want to take the glory.
Yeah. Now, here's the last one. And this one really applies to you, Ben. And I changed the last word from path to roads. So sorry about that, Walt. We keep moving forward, opening new doors and doing new things because we're curious. And curiosity keeps leading us down new roads.
Mm-hmm. So walk on down the road.
Walk on down the road. You got it. The afterlife road. Thanks a lot, Ben.
Thank you.
Peace out. Ben.
Family-owned Palermo Pizza underwrites this episode of Grand Rapids Ghost Hunters Paranormal Podcast, located at 901 Gazan Parkway, Southwest Wyoming, and available at 616-531-8300.
The opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of the producer and not necessarily those of WKTV Community Media.